Okay, so you can see up on the screen. Anybody that's been a teacher or a principal or whatever probably has had teacher dreams. Do people know what I'm talking about? Even if you're not weren't a teacher, maybe you've had a dream where in what your occupation is, I'll just say it for the teacher. Yeah, teachers have these dreams where you walk into a classroom and you're not ready for the class. Something's wrong. You open up your briefcase and there's nothing in there. Or the kids are climbing the walls, or something's going on and you're totally unprepared for the situation. Right? And so I hate those kinds of dreams. And here, school's just started, and I was thanking God that I didn't really have to deal with that anymore, And it's been a while. I mean, Kathy, you still have teacher dreams once in a while, don't you?
Not as frequent.
No. So it's nice when you're mostly retired.
Yeah.
So that was playing in my head. Matthew 24:44 says, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "You must also be ready, for at a time you do not know, the Son of Man will come." And, what do we have to be ready for? He's going to show up when he shows up. And you kind of wonder, I would imagine that most of us have some response to that particular question. What is it that Jesus himself says that we have to be ready? And I think that mostly we think in the ultimate situation, because he is talking about the time when he comes, that what we think about when we think about being ready is going to be, we're going to see Jesus face to face. Right? Mm-hmm. You want to be ready for that encounter. If you're going to some kind of, maybe it's a party, or maybe you're going to some kind of very special event, or maybe it's a wedding or something, you want to feel like you're ready for it. You want to have the right clothes on. You want to be sure that everything is perfectly done, and that you're ready, and the car's cleaned out and washed, and already, so that when you get to this place, you're not going to look like you came from, the deep woods. So there's a thing of preparation. There's a thing where you want to be prepared for things. And we are going to meet the Lord. All of you guys know this, right? There is going to come a time when we're going to meet the Lord. Is this on, Reggie?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me see if I can find a place here. So what must we be ready for? That's what this is, what we're going to talk about today. And I didn't put everything down that there's lots of things that we must be prepared for. It isn't just one thing. It isn't just a long time off whenever Jesus is going to come, whether it's we're on our deathbed and we're ready to meet Christ, or whether it's, we make it all the way and Jesus is returning now we need to be ready for him. Because I'll get to that in a minute. All right, so let's look. So what do we need to be ready for? I didn't put all the stuff that we could have. I didn't even write down that we as a bride are supposed to make ourselves ready to meet the bridegroom. I didn't even put that in there. There's lots of other things. I'm just touching on four things. Otherwise, we'd be here all day. And then you can take this and kind of think about and pray about and take it to other places besides that I don't touch on. So we're, you know, meeting Jesus face to face. That's what I think everybody thinks of. I'm supposed to be ready to meet the Lord. But you know, there's a lot of other things prior to that that we're supposed to be ready for. That Jesus, in talking about being ready to meet Him, we have other things that we are to be ready for while we're here before we actually go to be with the Lord. Do you understand that? So being ready isn't we do our thing here in this world, and then right when it's close to our the time we're going to die, or right when it's close to when we can see that Jesus is really coming back in the next weeks or something, that we try to get our act together. Mm-hmm. Now that isn't how God works. God wants us, from the time that we come to Him, to begin a preparation, a readiness to be ready for our bridegroom, right?
Yes.
All right, now here's some other things that we're going to talk about maybe today. Conforming to His image now. You know, we're supposed to be making ourselves ready, and one of these things that makes ourselves ready is that we need to be embracing the fact that God wants us to change.
Yes.
Into His image.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for a bride that's what?
Ready.
Ready, spotless, right? Holy. All right, so we're going to be talking about that in a little bit. Surviving until He comes. I'll bet you we don't really think about that too much. There's supposed to be, and you're going to see from the scripture, that there's an aspect that God, because He loves us, wants us to have life and have it abundant. Surviving means getting through something, and you're going to see this in a little more detail in just a little bit, because I think that's probably where I'm going to be mostly looking at. And then performing as well. We have to be ready to perform as well. We have to be ready enough that we hear His voice, know His voice, and are obedient to follow what He has to say. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, what do we need to be ready for? Well, we're going to look at these four things, and there's other things as well. It isn't just waiting for the time when we're going to see Jesus face to face. There's a readiness that God requires of us, is desirous of us to have right now. Amen? You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, just so that we remember. So, meeting Jesus face to face. We need to be ready for the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to go through this kind of a little more quickly, because I think you really understand that this is so true. Romans 14, 10 and 12 says this: "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so then, every one of us will have to give an account to God." Now, if that doesn't send a little bit of a shiver up your down your spine or in your heart, it should. You and I, every one of us, is going to stand before the God of the whole earth. You know what? You know our response we tend not to want to think about it. We don't want to have to actually face that fact. Oh, it's going to happen when it happens. Because if you and I think about this, if we understand that, you know, we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord, and we're going to actually stand before Him, that's uncomfortable. Because we know ourselves, and we know that we're not perfect, right? And it's kind of going to be a kind of a tight situation, right? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's Jesus. There's a couple angels around Him. There's some more angels down here. And then there's us. Okay. So, continuing this couple more scriptures. Matthew 12:36. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You can be sure on the judgment day, you will have to give an account of every useless word you have ever spoken." That's the Lord Jesus Christ saying that. Of course, we only want to hear the lovey-dovey side of Jesus. See, Jesus is a whole person. He's the real deal. He is everything. He is power and authority and also love and gentleness and mercy and everything. He's not just one thing. We like to focus on one thing, but he's the whole deal. And He has authority. And He expects us to He knows that we're not going to always do the right thing. But you know what? He expects us to have a heart that wants to go in that direction. That doesn't harden ourselves off and say, "Oh, well, you know, I'm just human." That we're not really asking God to help us to move away from those things that he has for us to leave behind. And here He's talking about the words that we speak. Wow. We're going to give an account of every useless word we've ever spoken.
I mean, is He aware of modern day plumbing?
You know, this is what, you know what's really good about this? See, this shows us. I think what we really need to understand is that He knows that we're going to stumble and fall lots of times. And He is ready to forgive us, isn't He?
Yes.
We just need to have a heart that when we do mess up, that we turn back to Him. That's what the whole thing is. We don't rely on our own strength. We have to through the process that we're going to talk about here, through this process that we slowly begin changing, but our heart has to be really wanting to change. You know, I think every single person in here, I hope, wants to please God. Right? And then we find out that we're not so perfect. We don't deserve to go to heaven. There's nothing so great about us that we can just kind of march into heaven. Can we? That's what's so great about who He is.
Yes, and His grace for us.
His grace, His mercy. Absolutely, this, you know. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this: "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad." Now, we're going to make it into heaven because the blood of Christ covers us. But you can see here that it isn't some cakewalk to walk into heaven. there's responsibility that we have to take as people, even though we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. We still have a responsibility to be careful how we're walking around in this world. How we acknowledge what God's laws are for us to live by. We can't just take it casually because we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's kind of taking the blood very lightly. Wouldn't it? God doesn't like that. He wants us to be serious about this walk we have with Him. But that doesn't. But He also knows that we're so
pathetic.
Yeah, I was looking for the right word. We're so pathetic. You know, as far as moving in the strength of God all the time and just pushing aside the temptations and just always thinking the right things and always doing. No, we're not that way. Thank God that He understands that and He's provided the way of the cross for those that see that we can't earn our way into heaven. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Nobody in here would go. So, you know, and it says whether good or bad, we're not going to just talk about the good things we did.
But what does it mean that I know what everyone means. He received the things done in his body according to what?
Well, what they're saying there is receive the just consequences or rewards for what you did. With your life,
while you were
in your body, while you lived in this life, in this body, okay, all right, you're going to receive the consequences. That word isn't in there, but that's the implication: is that that you're going to receive the consequences for the things that you did while you were living in the body you're in. Okay, that's what that's talking about. We can't take this lightly.
So that basically what that means is that the ones that have done more good are going to shine brighter, and our consequences of the people that done more bad are going to shine dimmer. Right.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
Because that would be our consequence.
Yeah, that's
that means
part of
so
it.
Much in.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, the way we're going to shine. Star differs from star in glory, so every man that, you know, that's in Corinthians, it says that.
Is that where that scripture about the wood, hay, and stubble?
Some people are going to be likened to wood, hay, and stubble. Things are going to be burned up in their life, right? But then there's people that are likened to gold, silver, and precious stones, right? The quality things. And then there's yucky things. And the more you sow to, that's more of what either has to get burned up or has to get worked out of us or whatever. You know, it's our choices are going to make differences. You know, we can be in here and we can acknowledge, yes, I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. But then when we get into a situation where we have to actually make a choice, whether to give into that temptation or to say no to it, well, our spiritual muscle starts having to be exercised, whether that's actually going to happen or not. And we either sow to the wood, hay, or stubble that's going to get burned up, or we're going to sow to those quality things that are going to make us stronger as a spiritual person. Okay? All right. So now, talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Now, here's another thing we need to be ready for. How do you get ready for the refining process? Well, the refining process, the thing that we're going to go through, is going to be that we embrace it. We have to be a person that first of all has to embrace this whole process. So let's look at this a minute. 1 Peter 4:17. The time has come for judgment to begin, and God's own people are the first to be judged. Luke 21:34-35. Be careful not to let yourselves become occupied with feasting and drinking and with the worries of this life, or that day may catch up suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all people everywhere on earth. So, you know, if we're caught up in all the things and all the worries of this life and all the concerns and all the disappointments and why is this thing happening at all, and we become so focused on ourselves that we can't see beyond to the bigger picture of what God is doing in this world, where we're going to be, how important it is for us to make right kinds of decisions, then that day is going to catch up to us and it's going to snap on us like a trap. That's what Jesus says. So we have to be careful. We need to be ready for the things that happen in this life. Right? We can't anticipate everything that could happen to us. But you know what we can do? We can be people that continually every day cry out to God, to trust Him, thank Him for His faithfulness, because that gives us a source of faith and connection that's going to sustain us through bad situations that happen. We can't anticipate everything, can we?
No.
Okay. So, Hebrews chapter 12. Be careful then. Do not refuse to hear him who speaks to you. Those who refused to hear the one who spoke the divine message on earth did not escape. He's talking about Moses giving God's law to Israel. And he says, the people that didn't listen to Moses didn't escape punishment. And if you know all the different New Testament stories, you know all those bad things that ended up happening because they wouldn't listen to God. How much less shall who?
We.
We. Who's he talking to?
Us.
Yeah, he's talking to Christians, right? How much less shall we escape then if we turn away from the one who speaks from heaven? Wow. His voice shook the earth at that time, but now he has promised once more to plainly show that the created things will be shaken and removed so that the things that cannot be shaken will remain. Let us be thankful then because we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So, if we sow to the kingdom of God, if we sow to our relationship with God, this is a serious thing. Especially now with the whole world just going, Cucamonga. Okay. That's like the Mully Crows. I know say that. Alright. Let us be grateful and worship God in a way that pleases Him with reverence and awe. Because our God is indeed a consuming fire. Our God is love, but He's a consuming fire. He doesn't want you just doing what you want to do. The heck with God. He's going to burn that. If you're a born-again believer, He's going to burn that out of you. And He's right in doing it, isn't He?
Yes.
He's right in doing this. Because He loves us and wants us to get away from those things that don't do us any good. Now that word shaken, everything that can be shaken and be removed, these are things that can be agitated, that waver, that are disturbed, incited, moved, stirred up. Anything in you and me that any kinds of fears and insecurities, all those things that could get us stirred up, are things that God will have to touch on to get rid of. So that we finally, instead of just always going to that worry and fear, that we learn through situations that, you know what, I can trust God. I can rely on Him. Whatever happens, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
And therefore, we receive that kingdom that can't be shaken. When you're in Christ, is there anything that really bothers you when you're in Christ? No, there's a rest. There's a peace. There's a strength that is in the core of your being at that moment, that even though you might be concerned about how something's going to shake itself out, you're trusting in God, right? Have you all been there? That doesn't mean that we have all the great responses, and that, you know, we're not concerned about things. But you know what? We keep falling back on, you know what? God's in control. I can turn to God, and I know that things are going to go not my way, but they're going to go the way God wants it to. Right? As long as I keep making right decisions, I can at least bank on that. Okay. So Matthew 24, 4 and 24 says this: "Take heed that no one deceive you, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show great signs and wonders to such a degree that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." This refining process has a lot to do with what's up here, and for you and I to know what's true and what isn't true.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse out there to determine, well, what's the truth and what isn't the truth? We see it played out in the political realm. We see it played out in the social area. We can see these spiritual forces that are trying to so confuse people that they don't know what end is up. They don't know what to believe and what not to believe. And that's happening on individual basis where the enemy is trying to destroy people's faith. I don't remember what the names are right now, and it doesn't really matter. But there have been some key pastors in the church, worship leaders and pastors that have walked away from Christ just recently. Some key, strong people. Some at Hillsong in New York, the New York branch. There was the worship leader there has walked away from the faith. Wow, what has gone? What was thrown at his head that he got all turned around and confused, and now is stumbling away from the faith? Don't think that any of us are immune. That any of us can't be deceived, because it can happen. It can, and that's why you and I need to be ready in this regard with our mind, how we look at truth and seek truth.
Oh, that's right.
We can't be casual about these things, especially now. Now, we don't have to be overwrought, because you and I can rely on God. But you know what it does require? Us to pray.
Yeah.
Please, God, don't let me get turned around here in my mind. I want to follow you. I want to follow your truth. And we can rest if we're plugging into that.
Yeah.
right? But if we're just kind of bouncing around life and oh, God's going to take care of everything, and we don't give any second thought to anything, anything of any serious nature, yeah, you and I could get snookered. We could. There's a lot of stupid things out there on the internet.
Yeah.
In the name of Christ, too. So, as it says here, we need to know the truth. And it sets us free and it keeps us safe. We need to be ready, grounded in truth.
Yes.
Not in fluff, not in Christian fluff, but in the reality of what's going on in the world and in our minds and hearts, that we can tell the difference. When a thought that's coming, I'm going to talk about this in a minute. When the thought that's coming to our head, where it's coming from. Oh, yeah, I think this is it. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, just God.